How are we doing, folks?
All good.
We're all doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing exceptionally well. I'm tippity-toppity, which is very good.
All right. Okay, I don't know what that is, but it sounds good. Tippity-toppity, excellent.
Who's doing the intro today?
Paul Riley, do you? I don't mind doing it, but you've not done the intro yet.
Paul's done
you?
A few, Jane. It's your turn, Jane.
Paul did it last week.
Where were you? I did it last week. Were you still plugging in your mic, Anne?
Probably.
So, Jane McCarry, take us in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 4, Missing in Action. Why are you laughing, David Goodall? He's laughing. Why are you laughing?
It's fine. It's good. It's lovely.
It's good.
Why is it not good?
It is good. It's perfect. Good. I loved it.
Is it my breast and the cushion is all too much? Just mush?
It just looks like... It looks like you couldn't be arsed and you've dragged a mic into your bed. You're just awake.
David Goodall, I'll tell you this. I was happy to be at my kitchen table. You all, oh, know, it says like you're in a toilet. It said, oh, Paul's good in the bedroom because of the bed.
Yes, that's fine.
Paul's good in the bedroom. Paul's good in the bedroom, but he's better in the broom cupboard.
So, yes, top on. Look, even bit of makeup, hair blow dry.
And I won't have anyone say that you're not good in the kitchen.
Unlike yourself, David, at foodopolis.org. Boom, go to in. Yes.
Yes.
Well, missing in action. Anyone care to explain to the good people of the interweb what we mean by missing in action?
Oh. Do you know Paul Riley?
Well, I'm good in the bedroom. I don't care. We just wanted to maybe kick the ball about a wee bit about things that during the current situation that everybody's missing. For example, one of the, well, the biggest arts fair in the entire world, the Edinburgh Festival's gone from the calendar this year, which is, I think, for the first time in, I don't know, I'm going to make it up, 112 years. Can you believe that?
Oh, 112 years, that's unbelievable. Fact
check! The Edinburgh Festival is not an arts fair, but an arts festival. Fact check! The Edinburgh Festival is not the biggest arts festival in the world. Fact check! The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is the biggest arts festival in the world, and 2020 will be the first time in its 73-year history the Fringe has been cancelled.
I think people will be more disappointed that Still Gone's postponed to next year than the Edinburgh Festival, but I could be wrong in that.
Nice, that's Jane, nice work.
What's Still Gone, can you tell me?
Still Gone's...
We don't like to talk about it.
All right, fair enough.
Don't like to talk about it much, but it's a kind of reflective three-hander from the cast of Still Game, myself, Paul and Jane, that's touring next March and April in a lot of large theatres around Scotland.
I had fond memories of the Edinburgh Festival. I think I'd done probably double figures over the years of various different shows. How many have you done, Jane?
Oh, God. Maybe 4 or 5. Actually, since the boys have come along, I've not done as many because it means that you have to rehearse through July and then you're away for the whole of August, and that's too hard when the kids are wee. But yeah, I have done quite a few. The last one I did, I had to be covered in blood as the show went on. And I remember coming home on the last train from Edinburgh and I didn't have time to wash the blood off. Just covered in blood, not one person even turned a hair.
But it was brilliant fun, though. It was brilliant fun, even though, you know, sometimes poorly attended. Now, that's key to the Edinburgh Festival.
Mm-hmm. As an actor, here's the rule, right? If there's more people in the audience than in the cast, you're allowed to cancel.
Oh, Jane McCarry.
Oh, David, you know this.
That's her drug of choice, cancelling shows.
Honestly. My knees are red with the amount of times I've been
most exciting thing in the world.
Please. And it would always be like, say there was 4 people in the audience, 5 people in the cast, and you would just be about to announce that you were going to cancel it, and 2 more folk would come in.
So we would tour together, Jane and me, and we'd get somewhere, and is so-and-so there? No, they're not in. Oh, we're doing a play. Oh, we've got no record of it. And Jane started to tug me, going, David, come on, we'll just go.
Let's go.
And I'm saying, actually, well, who's their deputy? And she's going, don't ask. And they'll get your deputy. Oh, yeah, that's fine, you can do the show. And she was raging for the rest of the day.
Oh, absolutely raging.
Who's the most famous person you've met at the festival?
I met Stephen Berkov, and I met, what's his name? Oh, it's a postman, sorry. He never does that. Thank you.
I've never met anybody famous at the festival.
Seriously?
I'll tell you this, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it because he died recently, but my friend Donna...
Not your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault.
Don't know that yet.
Donna met Nicholas Parsons in the street. Now, by all accounts, he was a lovely man, but she's always...
Yes.
Recently,
oh, never knew that.
David will probably cut this out, but I'll say it anyway. And so she went, hello, she's lovely, Donna. She went, it's so lovely to see you. And this is what he said, get away from me. It's absolutely devastated. So that's put me off ever approaching anybody.
The greatest performance I ever saw at the Edinburgh Festival was Mark Cox and the Marlborough fag scam.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
That was great days.
To put you in the picture, folks, what happened one year, Marlboro Cigarettes sponsored the Fringe, right? And they had these girls go around all the bars, and the deal was, do you smoke? Yes, I smoke. If we take your cigarettes off you, we'll give you 20 Marlboro, brand new, and a Marlboro Zippo lighter, right?
Mm-hmm, I think.
And of course, I didn't smoke at the time, so Coxie, he was straight on it. We would get to Queen Street, get on the train, he would have 20 deck of fags, he would take out 18 of them and hand them to me, and I would keep his cigarettes for him. He would wait for the Marlboro girl to come, hand back to score 20 and a Zippo. Then, of course, I had to pretend to be a smoker. The next day, did we not do you yesterday? No. I'm sure we done you not. What's your name? Tommy Burns. And eventually they just gave up and they would just come up and just give us the fags and the lighters.
Piles and piles of fags and lighters. That seems so...
Oh, a different world.
It would never, ever happen now. But
they do it with Red Bull now, though.
Any cancellations that have hit you, not necessarily through the COVID, just have you had anything cancelled? I mean, a big thing just now, I think, for folk is weddings, isn't it?
My nephew had his wedding cancelled. He was supposed to go in July, I think it was. His is gone. It's been moved back to next April.
I think the weddings, honeymoon, funerals as well, not that... You know, but
you don't cancel them. We'll just leave them in your living room.
No, they don't cancel. You can't put that off till next year. But no, I think not being able to go to somebody's funeral would be a horrendous thing.
A nightmare.
Weddings cancelled, as you say. But this year is a very, very special year for Paul Riley, myself, Sanjeev Kohli, another one, and many more, because this is our 50th year.
Oh,
sorry.
And do you know, Paul, we've actually never discussed this.
Shoot, I'm not even 49 yet. Gosh,
he's the youngest.
Are we out there?
Paul's sister was having a surprise thing for his 50th, and of course that was all cancelled.
I had my lockdown 50th in my garden with a cake and my sister.
The best cancellation I found, and the best reason, do you remember Police Squad, which was a television series? It was a forerunner to the Naked Gun films. It was cancelled, and the executive of, I think it was NBC, his statement, the reason for cancelling it was, the problem with Police Squad is the viewer had to watch it to appreciate it.
That should be the definition of executive right there.
Absolutely.
anything cancelled? A few direct debits.
There's one thing I'm happy is cancelled this year and every other year, and it might be controversial. The World Pipe Band Championships. Honestly, Dave, I used to live on Glasgow Green, and every single year, we eventually had to just go away for the weekend.
Yeah, it was murder. It was
horrendous. Honest to God, 8 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock at night.
Folks, we've got some questions. We've got one from Meg in Orlando.
G'day, Meg.
Orlando, Florida. Who was your favourite guest star to appear in Still Game?
Hands down for me.
Oh, the German guy, he was fantastic.
I thought she was great company, great fun, and it was the Dorothy Paul, fantastic, great fun.
I mean, in truth, there was so many of them when you think back. Sylvester McCoy was a riot. He was a lovely man. It turned out that he didn't know the show when he came up to do it, and then his kids asked him what he was up in Glasgow for, and they said, Dad, that's the best show ever. And so then he watched it and he came in the next day. He said, this is unbelievable. And he just absolutely loved it. He had a great time.
Because I got to interact most with him, I think Craig Ferguson might be mine. His stories were tremendous and he was lovely. That was one of my favourite episodes of all time, that one, actually.
I actually had a great affinity for Amy McDonald because we did fights for her. She was ninjaing
Gavin
Bobby, mm-hmm. And she was game for throwing a punch.
Oh, she was great.
John Crawford wants to know your favourite pub or favourite gig in the 80s.
John Crawford, eh? I know this cat. That's Cran Hill John Crawford. He had lovely spirally hair, Michael Hutchins. He used to wear a red velvet jacket, and we used to drink in Sylvester's pub in Ingram Street in the town. That was our go-to. But I remember him, John.
Aye, big shout out to John. He's in Florida as well, I think. Well, my favourite music venue at that time would probably be King Tut's Wawa Hut. And I would go there and see various gigs. For those people overseas, there was a lot. It was a tiny wee venue, about 300 people it would hold, and like Oasis was signed there, and all these other bands, famous bands. My mum would used to say to me every weekend, "Where are you going tonight?" And I would say, "I'm going to see a gig." And she said to me, "Oh, aye, King Toots Wow Wow Pad, is it?" And I analysed that, and she got one word right: King. That was it.
I remember I sang in a band as well for a while called Hyperactive, and we won this thing in the Evening Times, I know. But in the Evening Times, it gave us our ages. And then we used to go to Napoleon's over in Muir End and a few different places. And once it was in the paper that we were 14, that was the end of that.
Coxie and I, we had a meeting one time, as I recall, in this place. It was called Willie's and... It was called Willie's and Fanny's.
Yeah, Willie's and Fanny's. Willie's and Fanny's cocktail bar.
Willie's bar and Fanny's lounge, as I recall. Is that right?
That's right. Just off Glassford Street.
What's the question, Mark? Don't keep us in the dark. What's the question, Mark?
Unfortunately, owing to lockdown, the impending global recession, and in keeping with this episode's topic, Question Mark is cancelled. Question Mark will be returning next week, if Mark remembers.
Back to the festival, it was always about... I used to meet them when I was at Queen Margaret. We'd stay up at the halls of residence, and we'd meet other people who travelled up to do their shows at the festival. And we'd meet them, and we're just about to start. Where are you playing? And we were playing somewhere on the Royal Mile, and you would say to them, where are you from? And say, oh, we're from Wolverhampton. Yeah. And I said, what venue are you playing? We're out in places you've never heard of, way out past Musselburgh and all that. Charged to do shows in the middle of nowhere.
It's equivalent to Ryanair. We'll land you in Edinburgh.
Glasgow Prestwick.
They're always, God love them, they're always in the Royal Mile punting their shows. And you just know nobody's gone. And I remember vividly, there was one guy, and I don't know what he got from this, but it pleased me enormously. He was handing out blank A4 red pieces of cardboard, and he's saying, there's no show, you can't go.
That's brilliant.
Well, we went to see a thing. It was a neighbour of mine, and he was doing a show at the festival, and his dad, his dad's away now actually, and he had terminal cancer. And I know this sounds like, but it was great, great, great fun, George. And 3.5 hours we sat through this show, and at the end George said, he actually squeezed my hand, and he said to me, "Ach well, Jane, death has lost its sting now." I love that.
Okay, folks, I think it's about time that we spun the wheel.
Please be Australia. Please be Australia. Please be Australia.
It's Arbroath.
Oh, Arbroath.
Yay! Yay, Arbroath.
Yes.
But David, I know you want to talk about smokies. I know you do.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I'm keen to talk about Aberbrothick, which is the original name of Arbroath. But listen, before we get into that, why are we doing this again?
On the April the 7th, 2021, we will be at the Webster Theatre. And on the 8th, the Webster Theatre once again in Arbroath.
48 Hours in Arbroath, that would make a good serial, I think. Yeah,
that was a Nicholas Rogue film. 40 Hours to Arbroath, aye.
Well, I remember going to Arbroath when I was sort of 13, 14. I went a lot to the Red Line Caravan Park.
Oh, yes. On the links.
With my friend Elaine, used to go up, it's her Nana's. And Nana was a riot. So she would let you do whatever you wanted, really. My favourite thing in the whole world was going along to the shows at the pier. Man alive. And I fancied the guy in the waltzers so badly that when he was spinning me, I took my braces out, my teeth, which in those days you always put them out, took them out my teeth, put them in my pocket. Right? I did get a film that night, I'm not going to lie to you, I did, it was worth it. But then, of course, fell out my pocket, lost them. Didn't have the heart to go back and say, can I look round at each wee booth to see if I can find them, because I was too embarrassed. And I remember going home, I had to tell mum and dad, oh, that I'd lost them, and that was it. And to this day, my two front teeth are slightly crossed over because of getting off with that guy.
To be fair to the poor chap, I would say your teeth are crossed because you lost your braces, not because of getting off with that guy. That makes him sound a bit harsh, really. He buckled your teeth.
He'd be working those waltzers after you've gone, as you know, moving from waltzer to waltzer, trampling that thin metal into the ground.
His book's called From Waltzers to Wallies. That's what he's called.
And my dad, we had the declaration of our birth framed and in the living room wall. And I remember coming home from that holiday and every time seeing it, feeling the shame. Every time mum would say, I don't understand why you lost the braces. I mean, where could they be?
Paul?
Yes.
Any interesting facts about Arbroath?
Yes, indeed. Arbroath has a population of, you ready? 2, 3, 9, 0, 2.
And if you're lucky enough to have picked tonight's winning numbers.
That's the population. Some people might say 1,000 on the end of that.
Yeah.
But interestingly, Arbroath has a world record holder. Arbroath Football Club, in 1885 in the Scottish Cup, they beat Aberdeen Bonacord 36-0.
Hello.
And they're saying it's the very earliest version of Get It Right Round You.
Is that the highest score in a
That's
football match?
That's the highest score, yes.
Fact check!
Arbroath FC held the world record for 117 years until their 36-0 win was knocked off the top spot when Championship Madagascans AS Adema beat rivals SO Emime 149-0. All 149 goals were own goals scored in protest over a penalty decision. Nonetheless, their record stands.
We played that theatre, the Webster Theatre in Arbroath. It's a great place.
We did.
Magical place. A magical theatre, by the way. Great theatre. We were doing the panto there and we went in one day. Boxing Day it would have been. Quite cold, isn't it? Well, the heating's not on. I had to phone the caretaker. He went, oh, I don't believe it. I forgot to tell Forfar. the heating gets turned on in Forfar. Forfar's not open. They're not open till the 2nd of January.
Well, I've made a note. We're going to phone ahead then. We'll definitely
do that. Phone Forfar. That's a great catchphrase. Phone Forfar.
That's right. However, Mark, it's not all good news about the theatre, I'm afraid, because the Webster Theatre in Arbroath, sadly, folks, has a ghost.
Oh, no.
And it's quite a sad tale, actually. It's the tale of Lachlan Burns. Now, he was a Victorian paper seller, age 7. And what he would do, he would sell the late editions to the high and mighty of
the Hoi Polloi.
As they left the theatre, he would sell the late editions. And Lachlan was hit by a tram, sadly, one night. And it's unconfirmed, but the reports are that the headline of the paper he was selling that night was Big Artie Chokes 2 for £1 at Asda.
Oh dear. And it haunts the halls of the theatre to this day. And you can hear quietly if you listen. It's cold in here, Ken.
There's an interesting wee thing in Arbroath about a sacking that kind of went badly wrong. The monks were in charge of all the law held around Arbroath, around the Abbey, and they decided it was just a pain in the cassock. So they handed it over to Alexander Lindsay, also known as the Tiger, or Earl Beardy.
Oh.
But they thought he was costing too much, so they sacked him, and he took it quite well. But his family didn't, because they replaced him with enemies, so Lindsay's family met the Ogilvies on a battlefield. Lindsay rushed in to try and stop it and was killed accidentally by one of his own soldiers. The account says, such, however, was the gallantry of the Ogilvie resistance, they were almost all entirely cut to pieces. And then Lindsay's army, in the end, torched all the Ogilvies' farms and castles, killed all their villagers, plundered the property, and captured their wives and children. So it just goes to show you've got to be very careful to follow the proper procedures if you're going to dismiss somebody.
Yes, for sure.
Did you give us a year for that, David?
It was 1445.
I know how all this could have been resolved, of course. Phone Forfar.
That's true. But it's not all blood and guts, because Arbroath has got a miniature railway.
It does.
I, for one, will be on that. That's
I've been
sure.
on it.
Alpacas and all, so I'm going to feed them.
And I'm going to go up and see if maybe the waltzers are still going.
They've got a jam factory.
And we can stay at Nana's caravan. She's away now, but it's still there.
Can some nick that caravan? Will it know? You're talking about 40 years ago.
She smoked 40 a day, Nana.
Yeah, that'd be a terrible caravan.
But it's still there.
It's a wee theme with you, Jane, isn't it? I mean, at university, you stayed in a dead pensioner's flat. Now you want to go on tour in a dead pensioner's caravan.
We should put a plaque up.
She was cracking, actually. She was a cracking old dear. There we are, boys. We'll have a good time in our broth.
So I found this last night. It's from a website called VipLap or something. Paul Riley's biography. Paul Riley, born 17th of January 1962. It's the same with Wikipedia, I think. They've got me at 62 or something.
Yeah, but Wikipedia, for 6 months, my son was the top goal scorer for Celtic. Because he'd put himself in.
Drew put himself in.
Yes.
Is Paul Riley gay or straight? We don't know for a fact whether Paul Riley is gay, bisexual or straight. However, vote by clicking below. Is Paul Riley still alive? Are there any death rumours? Is Paul Riley hot or not? Does Paul Riley do drugs? Does Paul Riley smoke cigarettes or weed? Regular, recreational or never?
When you feel unwell, the first thing you do is look up the computer. That's the first thing I would do, is Google my symptoms. But it really just shows you from that, you really shouldn't be Googling anything. You're never really going to get a lot of facts, are you?
No, I don't think you should be Googling when you're not feeling very well, because you'll always find what you're looking for.
And then you make the rest up.
Basically, any diagnosis online, if you've got a pain in your toe, is going to come out as bowel cancer.
It's just passing down.
Yeah, but you specifically remember stubbing it on the door.
In a cancerous way.
Anything else we need to discuss? We want to discuss
just your outro, Jane.
Well, look as I complete. Look at the blank face. Here we go.
Well, that's us for another week, folks. We've been three down, one across. Please subscribe if you can. That'd be smashing. You'll get us in any of your usual podcasts. They make me laugh.
It's like watching the Hindenburg come down.
Any of your usual podcast places, that's where you'll find us, and on Twitter. Cheerio, bye now.
Next week with a proper outro, everybody.
Bye-bye. Three Down, One Across is an Osprey production. This episode was recorded remotely following Asimov's three laws of robotics. It was produced at Sounds Move Facilities.